Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo. John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome to the premiere episode of Heavy Muscle Radio with the Muscle Heads. My name is Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and smaller-headed compatriot, John Romano. Well, John, a lot has happened in one short week, but yet we are back on the air.
Yeah, no, wait, before we get into that, does this smaller head have anything to do with the fact that my either brain is smaller or that just everything is smaller?
They say that there's really no, small head size doesn't really have anything to do with brain power, so I think you're right. I think it's the convolutions in the matter of the brain that really counts, yeah.
Yeah, Einstein's head was really not that big. People just think it was because of the hair.
Mm. I have a big head, so I'd like to believe my brain is bigger than everyone else's.
Your head is freaking huge. That's why you're so smart. That's what I tell everybody.
Well, you know, my father told me when I was a kid I had a really big head, and he said, you know, as I started getting very muscular, that he forgot that I had a big head because it kind of balanced out my body a little bit.
Yeah, when you were like 320, you looked perfectly proportioned. Mm.
You ever see these guys with like small heads, these bodybuilders, and then they get really huge, and then it looks like they have like a pea head almost?
It's like where those cartoons came from.
Yeah, the muscle heads, right?
The muscle heads, yeah.
Well, we have Jeff, the producer, in the studio here with us. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Dave. What's up, John?
This kind of all feels familiar, doesn't it,
yeah.
Jeff?
I mean, you know, we're all sitting here having a good time. Nothing's changed. You know, we just took a week break, right? Is that like a week?
Yeah, two weeks ago we were doing the old show.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Except that we did garner, you know, like 100,000 fans around the world, so somebody's heard of it. But now they're all listening to us here, and it's like no break in the action.
That's right. Now we also have my lovely fiancée Colette Nelson in the studio as well.
Well, hello, Jeff, the producer.
Well, hello, Colette. It's so nice to be next to you, actually.
It is. I love it. Yeah. And hello, John Romano.
Ah, the voice of reason.
That's right. I try.
Now, you know, John, since this is a new show, we really don't have any sponsors yet, but, you know, we're working at a very rapid pace here to put together not only this radio show, which I have to say came to me in a revelation while I was driving up to Joel's daughter's bar mitzvah on Saturday night. I said, what the hell can we call this show? And I was thinking, you know, you and I are kind of like heavy metal, like aficionados. So I said, heavy metal, heavy muscle. And
yeah,
it works, man.
It was awesome. When you said that, it was like, so far, every single thing that we have done since Monday, and for the people that are out there that don't realize what we've done an amazing amount from the website, the main site, the social page, up until now, every decision, it's been like one brain, two bodies. It's been incredible. It's just every one idea after the other is like exactly what the other one was thinking.
And we have a very, very good, very well-synced group of people here, too. And it's not just you and me, obviously, feeding into the machine. We do have Jeff contributing. We have Sean Andros, who we're going to meet a little later. And, of course, we got the one and only Colette Nelson here. Colette, what do you know, everyone out there must know by now. And if they don't, they probably had their head buried in the sand someplace. But John and I were fired from Muscular Development. It's almost unbelievable to some people because I think that when they think MD, they just think that you and I are the defining factors of that. And obviously we are no longer with them. Can you imagine that, John? I mean, how does it feel? I mean, has it sunk in yet for you?
For me or Colette?
For you. I was going to ask Colette her opinion on it, but I just wanted to get your opinion first on it. And then we'll ask Jeff and Colette to give us their feedback.
Well, you know, it's been exactly a week and for me, a little bit different from you, Dave, because I've got 18 freaking years in that place.
I know.
And, you know, that's an entire career for some people, you know? although other people, when they end a career like that, they usually have a pension and a retirement and, you know, severance and all of that. We were summarily booted with nothing, which, you know, is really, that's the kind of thing that's really stuck in my mind is the fact that, you know, all of this time, the relationship that we built, you know, the false pretense under which I worked all these years was really, you know, telling in the end of, you know, what this person that we worked for was all about. That's the thing that's really gotten me shocked right now, is that, you know, I sort of let all of this happen, and now we're at the point where, you know, a bad thing has turned good. But in all, I'm really kind of, while I'm still shocked the whole thing happened, I really feel very relieved. People have been calling me all week saying, God, you all right, bro? I mean, I'm worried about you. You know, 18 years, now you're fired. I mean, you all right? You know, you okay? And I'm going, yeah, I feel great, man. This is awesome. And we're, you know, you and I are starting this great thing with great people. It's all positive. The outpouring of support is amazing. I feel I'm on top of the world right now.
Well, before I give you my insight, I want to get Colette, because she lives in the house with me. What was your impression of this whole firing thing?
Well, Monday was a crazy day, because you were actually dealing with that ticket up in Connecticut. So Dave was unusually up early.
And 6:30.
Yeah, 6:30. So when he gets home, I get that phone call, and you're telling me that you're locked out of the site. And I honestly didn't believe it. I'm like, don't panic. You know, something has to be wrong. And then, of course, you get that email that the Noble Radio Show is canceled. And, John, I have to say that I love Dave. Dave has been with, you know, the company for 8-9 years. But you with 18, I'm like, there's no way Romano's fired. There's no way. So I was almost more shocked. I mean, that I couldn't believe. And the whole thing was just, I was really in disbelief. And then with me, my emails were going crazy. My phone was going crazy. The text messages, because once it got out there, people were getting on the website. You guys were locked in. You know, they obviously knew what was going on. You know, I honestly was just waiting for it to be kind of like a joke. Waiting for the phone call to say, you know what? You guys, this is just all a big publicity stunt, and let's call it a day. But it just kept going, and I realized it was reality.
Well, I think the order of events are a little off. First, our Lee Priest was pulled from our radio show, so we weren't even told that anything was happening. And then we woke up Monday and found we were locked out of the site. And then by probably right before the phone call came from Steve Bleckman, I think we all are
the rather in-depth phone call.
We're taken down.
Head.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that phone call in a little while. Let me get Jeff's input. Jeff, you know, you finally had a freaking job. You were getting paid $500 a month, which is not a lot of money, but you know, you weren't doing that, but you were engineering a show once a week for us. And I said, you know what, Jeff finally got a job that he can keep. And God damn it, you got fired too.
Well, actually, I think the reason why you all got fired is because I came on board. And I brought the whole lead. But like in all seriousness, I mean, the way that it went down with like no warning, not to just, you know, you guys, but to everyone else, to the community in general, who were like fans of the magazine and of you guys. So it's bottom line, sucks.
Well, let me just to say one thing, because I, right after it happened, John, my you know, I'm a very man of peace, and I believe in like, you know, I don't believe in revenge, and I don't believe in blaming people for things happening. So I was willing to walk away, and I was in a good mindset, because I felt comfortable with what I'm doing, and I knew that we would start another radio show, as we did, and we would launch our own website, which we will be doing I guess maybe a couple hours from now. But you know, something happened that changed that outlook. Maybe you wanted to break it down for us, because what made you think, what possessed Steve Bleckman to make the statement as to why he fired us? Do you really think he believes that statement, or was this propaganda that he's trying to bamboozle the MD forum people with?
Well, I mean, obviously, to you know, do what he did in the way in which he did it, just, you know, lacked integrity, balls, and, you know, everything else that you need to be a man. But you know what people don't understand is that there's a background here, and there's sort of an underlying reason why we threaten Bleckman so much with our partnership and with, you know, our fan base, the loyalty that we have out there. You know, and I guess we got to go back and you know, talk about some background. I wrote a very detailed outline, which will be up on our main board, you know, sort of addressing his...
I call that a little more than an outline, John.
It was a phenomenal piece of writing.
That's a mission statement combined with a Declaration of Independence, I think.
It's only 5,000 words long, but you know, it was cathartic, I have to say. But... But I think the background is what's really important, Dave, because, yeah, you know, there was a whole synergy that was developing with Species Nutrition, your company, mm-hmm, and Steve Bleckman, and it was part and parcel of the reason why, you know, you came on board as editor-in-chief of MuscleDevelopment.com, and it has to go all the way back to, you know, Steve Bleckman's involvement with Twin Laboratories. So, I mean, if you want, I'll go back over that.
Well, let's go over. Well, Steve made a statement, obviously, and I'm not going to read the whole statement, that he basically accused us of not doing our job, and that's why we were fired, as slacking.
Right. That, let's start there, because, you know, the underlying reason is what was not addressed, and we'll address that later. The reason he gave for firing us was twofold. One is that you were allegedly spending too much time mired in your contest prep of athletes and the launching of your company, Species Nutrition. Isn't it great to be able to say Species Nutrition?
Wow, I know. It used to be a gray area, and now it's a white area.
Right. It was gray. It was taboo. You couldn't say it at all. So, you know, there was the sort of an extra involvement in your life in that area, which, according to Bleckman, you know, your position as editor-in-chief of the website required 100% of your time and 100% focus. You are not allowed to have a minute off. You must think 24/7, MD.com, that's it. And concomitantly, I had the same sort of responsibility in that, you know, my job as senior editor of Muscular Development magazine required total focus and also 24/7, 100% focus out of, you know, use of my time.
It sounds like Big Brother almost, like, you know, like mind control, doesn't it, a little bit?
Well,
don't think about anything but MD.
The retarded part is, what about the first 17 years?
Right.
You know, how do we manage that? And then he makes that, retarded, asinine comment about neither one of us have been on site for the last year. I haven't been on site for 18 years. Our jobs, your job and my job, are not office jobs.
Right.
We don't need to be there. We get the job done. And the worst part about this whole thing is that for this last year, 2008, both you and me have done more work than we've ever done for the company ever in our entire history there. So here we are doing more work than ever, accomplishing more, growing both the magazine and the website more than ever, and we're being accused of slacking.
And the funny thing is, we're probably bringing in more money now than we ever have, and a lot more than whatever the ad people who sell ads for MD do. So we kind of were serving in multiple capacities in that sense.
Well, I don't want to disparage Angela there, because the woman that sells ads for MD Magazine she's an amazing person. She's a sweet, you know, woman, and I don't want ever to mix that up with that. We're talking about Ad Man, the douchebag that's supposed to be getting the money and everything else, you know, sponsorships and whatnot for the shows that we do and the radio show that he was giving away for, you know, 2.5 years. You know, part of our job description morphed into becoming, you know, ad executives. We brought in tens of thousands of dollars in the last 3 months that we were there. Outside of our job description, we were never thanked for it, never given a commission, and never got a piece of the action.
And accused of slacking on top of that.
And accused of slacking. I, between you and me, we brought in more freaking money to that company in the last 3 months than the douchebag ad man. And we're accused of slacking.
Hey, it was haunted house season. Leave the guy alone. He's very busy.
I'm sorry, haunted house man.
Now,
Yeah. Here's a guy. That's another thing that burns my ass. Here's a guy who A, poisons the whole entire staff about you and me because we utter the word, God forbid, Species, if we ever did anything, or got one of your competitors was photographed in a Species t-shirt, okay? This guy poisoned everybody's opinion that, you know, the reason he can't sell anything is because of Species. Didn't do anything, didn't bring any money, and didn't try, didn't care. Never went to a show, never did anything. You and me have accomplished more in 3 months than that guy's accomplished all year long. Then he hides in his little cubicle. He builds two personal websites on company time using company resources, promotes his haunted house business, takes time off like crazy. We're days before a freaking show. I have no sponsorship. He keeps his job. You and me get fired.
Now, you know, John, it sounds funny, and I think a lot of our listeners out there are saying, what the hell are they talking about haunted houses for? This guy builds haunted houses. And it's a very limited season, I might add, John, because it only happens one day a year.
I happen to like haunted houses as a child.
Yeah, but I don't know if you want to, you know, base your existence on that. It's a one day a year.
It's like those freaking Christmas stores. You ever see them?
Yeah, yeah.
Out in Long Island, they sell pools in the summer and Christmas trees in the wintertime. I get a crack up when I see those.
Now,
places.
Dave, what I never understood was you working with athletes, to me, seemed to be helpful.
It was good synergism.
Absolutely. How was that affecting? If anything, it drew more attention to the website. It was, you had an intimate relationship with many of them. You were able to introduce them to Steve. I just never saw where that became a conflict.
Look, the bottom line is it wasn't. And John, I think now is the time to really... It wasn't a conflict. That's what he's using as an excuse.
It was a conflict. It was a conflict for the underlying reason. That's what we haven't gotten.
But that's what I'm trying to get at. I want you to give us... Why don't you give us the whole build-up as to how this whole thing started and got to the point that it got to where it fell apart.
All right. Twin Laboratories was a huge... As many people might know, some people don't know, was a huge... Hugh was the biggest sports supplement manufacturer in the world. It was like a $300 million a year business, you know, in the early 90s, which was huge. Steve Bleckman was head of product development for Twin Lab. And when Twin Lab went public and then was subsequently sold, and he was getting into the, he retired from Twin Lab, was getting, it was bought Advanced Research Press, which is the parent company that Twin Lab used to own that was spun off, which he bought, which publishes the MD Magazine and Fitness RX and whatever else. He had a non-compete clause in his severance contract. So he had to, you know, wait 2 years post retirement in order to, if he was going to get back into the supplement business.
Now you were working for him this whole time, correct?
The whole time.
And wasn't he promising you that when he got back into supplements that you would be involved?
The picture he painted right now, I should be living in a freaking mansion next to Hefner. Okay. I was promised the world. I'm going to get into the supplement business. You know, you're going to be my partner. You're going to make more money. You're going to be a millionaire. I'm going to blah blah blah. Okay, so year goes by. The next year goes by. Non-compete's over. No supplements. Then he actually started, you know, making inroads. He had hired Lee Priest. They took pictures. There was going to be this super freaking huge pump system, some bullshit that Kolker put up. And, you know, one thing leads to another. It doesn't go in. It doesn't come. It fizzles. It's not good timing. Another year goes by. Another year, another year. Another. Next thing you know, 12 years goes by.
So no supplements for 12 years. All
right. Now we're 12 years. Now we're 12 years later, and there's still no supplements.
Right.
So, you know, I'm at the point, you know, you started your company. You came to me and said, hey, John, you know, I know you're a great salesman. You know, maybe you want to, like, get involved with Species. And I go, hell yeah, man. So, you know, I start working with you, and that was the point at which things got bad. So now Bleckman turns around and goes, I'm getting into the supplement business this year. You ain't saying that. You're going to be supplements all over.
Well, I think you forgot something because, you know, originally, Steve and I had discussed supplements. I know he wanted to get into the business. And obviously, Steve has a conflict of interest, because he's got advertisers in the magazine who would not think kindly if Steve was doing supplements of his own while trying to sell theirs or advertising theirs. So Steve wanted to use me kind of like as a front man, where I would, you know, I would be my company on paper. You know, he would be behind the scenes and we would be 50-50 partners. And I was seriously considering that, because Steve does have some decent knowledge in this field. He's got a lot of contacts, and he obviously had the magazines to help market the products. And it was a very tough decision for me to make not to go into business with him. And it basically boiled down to, you know, philosophies about life in general. You know, I'm a real man of my word. You know, I'm the kind of guy that will take money out of my wallet if I owe someone money. I don't owe anyone money. If I give you my word, it's as good as gold. And I didn't feel that Steve championed those same belief system that I had. And I told him, I said, Steve, you know, I don't think it's going to be a good idea if we go into business together because I think it will jeopardize our friendship. And I really never, ever intended to not be friends. I figured Steve and I would be friends till the day, you know, either one of us died. And I guess, you know, that was a big blow to his ego.
Well, I thought that the same thing. I never dreamed that, you know, we would not be friends at this point in our lives. But, you know, you're right. I mean, in my experience, his way of doing business is pathetic. I mean, he leaves checks unsigned. He leaves people unpaid for months and on end. I think Patrick Arnold had, like, you know, what, 3-4 months worth of invoices unpaid after, you know, he printed his articles.
Steve Wennerstrom, the guy was you know, supports his 92-year-old mother, and you know, he was always being paid late. I mean, this guy depended on that stupid $2,000 check to pay his rent, to pay food bills, you know, basic subsistence. And they couldn't give this freaking guy a check on time. Every single month I had a call there. I mean,
you call in and the controller would say, well, the checks are on his desk.
Yeah.
They've been on his desk for 2 freaking weeks. Sign them.
Right.
You know? It's unbelievable.
That's just not right.
And on top of that, you know, you got people calling, important people calling, you know, Jim Lorimer, Charles Glass, elder athletes, you know, and he goes, take a message, I'm busy, you know, never calls them back. They're calling and calling show promoters. Are you guys gonna sponsor this show? Yes, I just tell me yes or no. I just need to know. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I got to make a decision. I don't know. And it's like never a decision. So between not keeping his word, his penchant for paying late or not paying, you know, stringing people along, and the fact that you just couldn't count on him, that would not mesh with you. You do what you say you're going to do, and that's the bottom line.
And John, so, has this been like for 12 years? This is just how he runs business, or has it gotten worse?
It's gotten worse.
Oh,
it's gotten worse. See, the other problem with which is another reason why Dave wouldn't be able to do business with him, is that he is the consummate micromanager. He is incapable of delegating responsibility or letting other people, you know, make decisions that, you know, that facilitate an outcome that he doesn't have to worry about.
He hires
somebody to be a top-level executive that should have those decision-making powers at their disposal, but he stymies them.
Yeah, yeah.
So as he grew, as he added more websites and more magazines, he had to have his hands on everything. So he became worse in this regard because he was spread so freaking thin, he couldn't manage himself. He was like Samir said, he's juggling too many watermelons.
That's right. So basically, I rejected him. Now Steve says to himself, I guess, John, I got to establish myself as an expert. So the people know that I have knowledge with regard to supplements. So what does he do? He goes on the message board and he tries to undermine me and my dieting philosophy. I don't know why he ever took that. I mean, can you get inside his head? I mean, maybe you have a better psychology degree than I do, or psychology insight than I do. Why did he think he attacked me?
Dave, that is the point in time where it was like a curtain unveiling the fact that Steve Bleckman must be losing his mind, because he is internet ignorant. He doesn't even know how to turn a computer on, much less use one. He knows nothing about the internet, nothing about the community and the culture. So he goes out there, you know, headlong to go and bash you. What he should have done is said, hey guys, you know, I got to establish myself back again. You know, it's been 12 years since I've been in the supplement business. I have all this knowledge. I mean, people should know who I am and what I've done and that I was first to market with all these products. Let me side with you guys and take me under your wing and get me out in there until I feel comfortable, and then I'll, you know, spread my wings and branch out and, you know, do my own thing. Instead, he mounts a smear campaign against you, which was probably the stupidest thing he could have done, and knowing full well that you've got this tremendous following, people who believe in you and your philosophy. You've prepped 200 competitors last year for competition, 98% of whom have been in the shape of their lives by their own admission, and instead of aligning himself with you, he starts slamming you and your philosophy.
Of course, we're running a transformation challenge sponsored by our good friend Gerard at MHP, and we're using this ketogenic diet on on these competitors, and they're making fantastic gains, and they're losing tons of body fat. I mean, I had guys and all the competitors email me the last week or so telling me how grateful they are for what we did for them, and he's telling them that this diet that we're giving them can cause sudden death. You know,
how fucking stupid is that? He's got a paid advertiser supporting a transformation challenge using your diet and your philosophy, and he's posting, the lawyer's got to say it's, you know, possibility. I got to put it up. You know, fucking Wapner at 6. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable that he would do that. It's just so pathetic. I can't even wrap my tongue around it.
All right, so Blackman officially loses what we call the carb wars, which kind of remind me a little bit of the clone wars from Star Wars, but Blackman loses this carb wars. Now what happens?
Well, that threw down the gauntlet, because now...
Well, before he loses the carb wars, I think the final nail in the coffin had to be Ansi Menenin, who was a former employee of Steve's. He was his former science editor at MD. And I guess Ansi, from what I understand, introduced Blackman to that female low-carb researcher by the... I think her name was Cassandra Forsythe.
Cassandra, yeah.
Yeah, and according to Blackman, he called Cassandra, and according to her, according to what he said that he talked to her about, she said that if she was a bodybuilder, she wouldn't use a low-carb diet. Now, this is a low-carb researcher saying that. Now, my response, and I think your response, was, well, when is Cassandra getting on the Olympia stage and competing? What would she know about bodybuilding? Which is, I think, a very good point we brought up. But evidently, Ansi didn't buy that. Ansi called up Cassandra because he was friends with her, and she claims that Blackman lied and twisted her words. And when Ansi called Blackman out on this, he lost. That's when he had his meltdown, I think, and that was the end of it, right?
That was a huge component of it. I think another component of it was the statement that I made at the end was, look, bottom line, who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to a shredded 270-pound bodybuilder who has prepped 200 competitors for competition last year, almost all of whom were in the shape of their lives, or are you going to listen to a 130-pound science junkie that's never competed, never gotten in shape, and never prepped a competitor, but he's waving a study. Look, this is bad for you.
Doesn't John have a way with words?
That's why we love him. We love him.
No, but Dave, you know, when I read MD, when I, you know, even before I met you, or even just before this year, it has a very pro-ketogenic approach. And I know that even knowing Steve prior to this Carb Wars deal, he too had a very ketogenic approach to dieting. So it just seemed very bizarre to me.
He still does.
I used to say,
the guy eats a ketogenic diet.
So John, I was really twisted up inside, because I used to always read articles about the ketogenic diet in MD, and now all of a sudden it's a total switch. It's very bizarre.
Well, no. Well, wait. Let me clarify that.
In his defense, beans.
Definitely
beans.
Beans. Which
fiber. It's hysterical, man. But his method of reasoning is just so bizarre. But his belief is for health reasons, for health purposes, a ketogenic diet is superior. He said for bodybuilders building muscle, ketogenic diets are no good. So, you know, then here I am gaining 20 pounds on a ketogenic diet, you know, of muscle. Did my physique change since I've been on your diet?
Oh, yeah, definitely for the better. He also says that while dieting on the ketogenic diet, bodybuilders will lose muscle, which we know is not the truth either.
Oh, and he blames, right, that's how he blamed Wolf for losing all that muscle, because he was on the ketogenic diet.
He was on low carbs for 3 days. Well, we had Chad Nichols on.
Yeah, we had Chad on. He totally did. He totally set the record straight on that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, so Steve loses the carb wars. What's the next step he takes now?
Well, you got to understand what losing the carb wars meant to him, or what we allege that it meant to him, is that he is coming out with, supposedly, he's coming out with supplements this year. Him losing the carb war, him realizing my loyalty is basically not with him, it's with the truth. And, you know, he's probably faced with the fact that, oh my God, what am I going to do here? I got Palumbo and Romano, you know, subverting me on my knowledge because of, you know, they don't know what I know about, you know, essential fats and carbs and protein and all of this crap. And I'm going to have these guys bucking me. How the hell am I going to come out with a supplement line when they have the ear of the community? I'm not going to be able to sell any supplements. So basically, that, in my mind anyway, is what made him decide that he's got to get rid of us.
I agree.
But John, that goes, you spent time in his house in Aspen. You spent weeks on end. You just throw that all away? I don't know.
He called me his brother.
I know.
Well, obviously, you're only his brother as long as you were making him money and you weren't interrupting his ability to, you know, do what he wants to do.
That is the Bleckman mantra. You are only useful to me so long as you're useful. And as soon as you, you know, buck the system or you become, not an asset to him, you might as well have a freaking disease. He'll leave you by the side of the road. I mean, for him to call me on Monday morning at 11:30 and say, and I quote, "I've been reevaluating. We decided to terminate the relationship. I got to jump into a meeting. We'll talk more later." Click.
Hey, I got the same call.
18 years? That's what I get after 18 years. No? How about a 30-day notice? How about a severance package? How about, you know, talk to me about it? Maybe we can work this out. I mean, the art of war, Sun Tzu, basic concept, divide and conquer. He should have at least tried to get between us and split us apart, you know, and save the fact that, you know, me, he's got the best feature writer in the business working for him. Maybe I ought to keep this guy. Instead, look at what he does. He loses the top two guys in the industry. Look at the following. Look at what the people that have followed us to our website, who are listening to this show right now, who want to know what happened. We have a huge chunk of this community, and he threw it away for his ego.
Right. Well, you know, it goes back to that original statement I made that I really was ready to turn the other cheek on this whole thing and just do our own thing, project a nice positive attitude about it, but you know, it kind of hurt me a little that he would actually have the nerve to accuse me of slacking, of not working hard, because and he's going to learn exactly how hard I didn't work when in the next 4 weeks when the shows start. He sees exactly what I supposedly didn't do or did do. And probably Colette can tell you better than anyone, you know, how much free time that we spent together because of my slacking, you know, with the MD site.
Well, at what point, though, did you guys think at all during the week that there was a chance he would call you two in a meeting and say, "Look, you guys, you know, let me have a rational conversation with the two of you. I really feel a certain way. Is there any, I just can't believe you just terminated the relationship."
He didn't want to do that. He wanted us gone because he can't establish himself as a supplement expert with us there, because we're not going to, look, John and I are about the truth. It's not that we were about being right or wrong. We're about the truth. If someone comes up with something, a good statement or a good source of truth that we know to be right, I'll champion that even if it's not my own. I try to seek out the most appropriate and things that are functional in a bodybuilding sense. What's the best way to put muscle on? What's the best way to lose weight? I mean, I've done it. John's done it. You know, all the people I've helped have done it. I mean, we have the greatest science experiment that you could possibly run. I mean, forget Steve's studies. The studies that I do on a daily basis with, you know, hundreds of clients, you know, give me all the empirical evidence that I need. So when I hear someone trying to counteract that for whatever their own reasons are, I don't know if he was trying to counteract it because he really believed it, John, or because he was just trying to prove me wrong. And that's what I still haven't come to grips with.
Well, that's a good point, Dave. And it's part of the overall philosophy in his need to be in control, because you and I, and it became a bigger issue when you came along, because before you, I was kind of like on my own over there. Right. You know, it was like, you know, he surrounds himself by yes men, and, you know, he'll come in one day and say, "Yeah, the sky's red today," and you know, six people around him, "Oh yeah, it's a beautiful shade of red too," you know, and said, "I'm saying, what the fuck are you talking about? It's blue," you know, and, "Ah, it's not, it's red, look, you know, I got to study, blue, Journal of American Applied Sciences. It's blue, it's red. Look, you know. So, and I'm going, I don't give a fuck what the study says. It's blue. I'm looking at it, you know. And you know, it's it, that's really the analogy. It's that I, like you, will seek the truth. And the other thing, when you came along, it was like at least I had an ally in the truth,
right?
You know,
sure, sure.
I mean, Ansi was a great ally in the truth too, but Steve fired him. As soon as why and the reason being is because he's being protective of his advertisers.
Right.
And here he is promoting MD is no bull when he study you know when research comes out that knocks or trounces a you know advertiser's product. You've got a science editor that says something about it, and what does? He changes what the guy says. So he doesn't piss off the advertiser.
I'm about the truth, and I think that's a good segue, John, to talk about our new website now that's going to be launching, rxmuscle.com. RX Muscle is a magazine that I had run back in the early part of 2000, in the late 90s, which was a hardcore magazine, and then I kind of let it go when I joined Muscular Development. And we resurrected the name, and this website has always, this whole philosophy of this magazine has always been about providing the truth. And I think that the fans out there, the listeners out there, the bodybuilders out there want that. And, you know, I've gotten some call, some really good calls. I got a call from Marcus Haley. I got a call from Tony Freeman. I got a call from numerous other bodybuilders, too.
John DeFendis.
A lot of people, Jimmy Quinn called me, and Kevin Lavroni, Samir Banood. So all these people are saying to me, you know, we support you. We know you're about the truth. We know you guys are promoting the truth in this industry, and we champion that. We support you. And I think the overwhelming support you're going to see and the outpouring of people who cancel their Muscular Development subscriptions, who leave at MuscularDevelopment.com and come over to RxMuscle.com, participate in the forums, participate, listen to the radio show, go on our new social network, RX Muscle Place, of which we have almost 1,000 members already. I mean, in 1 week's time, the overall support for what we're doing, I think, is all the validation I could ever ask for.
You know, it's the public speaks, and it's the greatest thing. You know, part of the truth in what we're doing is evinced. The antithesis of which is evinced in how the MD forums handled our departure. There were just thousands of people distressed over the you know immediate firing of both you and I, and they were voicing their outrage on the public message boards, the forums, and one by one after the other. If it wasn't pro MD, it got deleted. The posts got deleted. They deleted posts and threads. Nonstop, they're still doing it. Yeah. Anything that has to do, that's anything positive about you or me or negative about MD, they're erasing it. And what do you think that's done to the community? It's certainly polarized them. There's very few supporters of MD left, as you know, as you can see by our incredible support. People are coming over here because they know we're not going to stand for that bullshit. If you have something to say, you have a place to say it. If you disagree with us, that's cool. Disagree. You know, we have very few rules, and all we ask is that people conduct themselves, you know, in a gentlemanly way, and that's it. I mean, do unto others, and that's all we care about. You know, we are seeking out the truth, and that goes for anybody that wants to advertise with us. That goes to anybody that wants to be here with us. You got to be truthful and upfront about everything. And as long as that's the case, you're going to do fine with us.
Yeah, no, I welcome that. You know, it's funny, they had a couple of articles I wrote on the site that they actually changed my name to another name, John James or something like that. And I was like, what the hell is this about? So I sent a letter, and I didn't receive a response. And then I sent another letter and mentioning something about my lawyers thinking that this looked a lot like plagiarism. And I noticed the next day my name was changed back. Which I found pretty
and then you got a letter asking for the video camera back.
Yeah, exactly.
That you paid for half of.
That was 2.5 years older anyway. Exactly.
How about the fact that we didn't get any severance? How fucked up is that?
It's pretty bad. Oh. I don't know. Anyway. What do you think? What do you think this is going to do for that whole MD, the whole MD magazine website? I mean, I think it's going to, I think it's going to really hurt them severely. I think it's going to hurt their credibility, especially how they could. You know, here's another good story too. I actually, before, you know, I know you were really angry when it first happened, and I was actually kind of the voice of reason. And I said, you know what? I'm going to email Blackman, and I'm going to see if he's going to be a good guy about it. Because I know that they were going to start this new radio show over there, and they weren't going to use the Noble idea, Noble Radio again. So I asked him, I said, hey, Steve, I said, would you be willing to sell John and I the name The Muscle Mob? Because after all, I was the one who actually convinced him to trademark the name, believe it or not. He was like, nah, I don't want to do it. I don't, yeah. Could be infringement on someone else. So I talked him into doing it, and he actually trademarked this. I said, let me ask him if the guy will sell it back to us, because we're the Muscle Mob. I mean, you know, we were the Muscle Mob. There's no other Muscle Mob over there. So even though we were technically whacked by them, and you know what he, you know what I didn't, you know what the answer I received was?
You didn't get an answer.
I didn't get an answer, but I did get an answer in the way of someone, Robbie Durant posted a post up on there saying, what do you guys think of Lee Priest, Jimmy Pleccia, and Greg Valentino as the new Muscle Mob, which is hysterically funny, because neither one of those guys could actually spend the amount of time necessary to organize a radio show, much less talk for 2 hours straight. With having said that, I called Pleccia up, you know, our good friend, and I said, hey, Jimmy, I heard you doing a new radio show. He's like, what are you talking about? You know, and he told me that it was bullshit, and he's not doing any shows. So I don't know if they would. That sounded like another way of Steve like trying to like stick our face in the whole circumstance, yeah. Which I don't know why he's doing, because you know I wouldn't want a man Romano sicked on me, because you're dangerous. I mean, I hate to see what he's going to think after he reads your article. I mean, that was a pretty powerful article you wrote.
Hey, you know what? Whatever he gets, let me tell you something. Whatever he gets, he deserves, because nobody should treat anybody the way he treated me in the end. I mean, if his feelings were hurt, if he didn't think that, you know, my loyalty was with him anymore, whatever he might have thought in that crazy mind of his, there should have been some deference to our history. I stuck with him through, you know, thick and thin. When his magazine was ailing and ready to go under, I freaking moved to New York and drove from the freaking Bronx out to Long Island every single day for 4 months to pick up the slack when he was losing things. You know, I stuck up for him when people, you know, people insinuate that he's gay and, you know, he's a schmo and all of this other stuff. I'm like, you know, he's not. You know, I'm like sticking up for him and, you know, getting his back, and people are complaining that, you know, he's not calling them, he's not paying attention to them, he's not taking care of this and that. I was always had his back, always. Yeah. And I turned down offers to work at other places.
I
was absolutely the most. I turned $250,000 away from Bill Phillips.
Wow!
I was absolutely the most loyal, employee slash, you know, friend, whatever, that you could, coworker, you know, whatever you want to call us. I was the most loyal you could possibly be for him and his cause.
Well, you know,
and for him to end it the way he ended it, and for the reasons he ended it, is just absolutely mind-bogglingly pathetic.
Well, it just shows,
you know what?
There was no loyalty there.
Her off.
There was no loyalty there. That's what he proved. It was, you
right.
know, he, the fact that he called you his brother was so that he wouldn't have to pay you as much as you probably deserved.
All bullshit.
All right.
Hey, you know what? He must be having financial trouble, because, you know, slashing you and me from the payroll saved them about a little over $250,000
probably,
a year.
Yeah,
so,
probably.
You know, there's some money in his pocket. Mm-hmm. You don't know who he's paying now.
Yeah, but what about he lost from all the ads we brought into the sites?
He evidently doesn't care about that.
Yeah,
you know, we were bringing in, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in that's now is going to be coming to us directly instead of to him.
Oh well, you know, the whole thing is kind of pathetic, and you know, I'm ready to put it behind me. I think we needed to have this cathartic like speech about this, and let our listeners know what went on for real behind the scenes, and now we got to move forward, because you know we have a new life where this is called Heavy Muscle Radio, you know, kind of on the same tinge as Heavy Metal Radio, but we're about muscle, not metal. And you know, we're going to be the same outrageous guys we were before, and not only that, we're going to even launch a second show for the week. You know, everyone always wanted more. We're going to give them as much as they want, And we're going to have a second show that will launch probably in another week or two. Right? Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, about a week or two. It, I think the people will be very pleased to get much more of the two smartest men in the business.
I got him on the payroll again.
Well, he's bucking for that raise already, isn't he?
I got him on the payroll. Hey, the guy has no money, man. I got to get him a car now, John, because otherwise he can't drive out to my house.
I do want to say one thing, and it's, you know, I don't want to come off as being unappreciative for the opportunity that Bleckman offered me all these years, because way back when I first got out of prison, you know, he was the guy who gave me my first job, and you know, it was a great run. But you know, and it was a great relationship up until the last, you know, year or so, when, you know, he started losing his mind. So, you know, I am appreciative for the opportunity that he offered me. He was a very generous, gregarious guy. You know, I learned a lot from him, and I'm really going to miss that part of, you know, what the friendship I had with him. And I think it's really unfortunate that he chose to drive this wedge between us and end it the way he did, and it's going to come back to bite him.
All right, you're making me cry here. So let me just I'm falling asleep here. No, you know, look, Steve gives a lot of opportunities. He did give us the opportunity, but I have to believe that I'm actually thanking him for firing us, because I think that he did us the greatest service in the world. He set us free, and now we can pursue other things and probably earn a lot more money and be a lot more successful and help the public and the lifters out there get a lot more content now, because now we're another site and then they have another alternative. And I think it's always good to have another alternative.
Yeah, you know, there's like hundreds of cable stations. There should be plenty more bodybuilding radio. And you know, we have, you know, and you and I have a unique advantage of being able to, you know, have in this position now, we're not aligned with anybody.
Right.
You know, there's nobody that can't talk to us.
Sure.
We can, you know, we can talk to anybody. Anybody can talk to us. We're not MD. We're distancing ourselves from that strained relationship where, you know, they believe that people belong to them and you know, no one can see or talk or use them for any, you know, thing outside of their realm. And I think the fact that, you know, we know everybody in the industry is going to give us the opportunity to have a great diversity of guests.
Right.
And our second show, of course, is going to be a little bit different format.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell anyone about that. We'll save that. I'm going to talk about that next time a little bit. But I do want to talk about one thing. You know, the site is going to be phenomenal. I mean, we have a lot of content being put up on there. John, you're going to be writing regular articles every week. So not only will people have to wait once a month now to read your stuff, once a week they'll be getting new content from John Romano on a regular basis. I will be putting up regular content on a weekly basis. I think the fans are going to flock to this. I personally think the magazine, the whole magazine market is going down the tubes. The internet is going to replace everything.
Yeah.
And we're going to have great updated articles. We're going to have tons of radio show content. We're going to have TV content within the next 6 months. So, I mean, we got a lot of stuff on the back burner here. The listeners out there, I think, are going to be very excited with what we keep bringing them. We're going to keep one-upping ourselves. We're not content to just sit back. Okay, we're going to keep raising the bar higher and higher, and that's what it's all about. I mean, I got a great, great radio show planned for Colette and Chrissy Chin, which I think a lot of people are going to really like. It's going to help really champion the women's side of the sport, something that MD was really not behind 100%. Even if they claimed it was a fight. I had a fight, John, every single day with that.
Well, someone over there doesn't like women, so... Yeah, should we talk about how we're going to cover contests?
Well, I don't want to give away too much, John, because, you know, we got a couple more shows to do before the Arnold Classic, but suffice it to say that we will be at the Arnold Classic in full force, bearing everything we got to bring with us to provide the content that you and I have discussed, and I don't want to even talk about it yet. But I do want to talk about a couple news items, because, you know, I don't want to bore people with this whole Bleckman story the whole time. You know, we probably got about 10 minutes left here for our first episode. You know, we're only going to do an hour tonight because it's after midnight already. And I got to make sure Jeff gets home before he turns back into a pumpkin.
No. I got the taxi cab driver from Manhattan. He's waiting downstairs.
You got Sean Andrews is what you got, you lucky
exactly
bastard.
Right.
Now, this is a little news story that I think Colette maybe can give us some feedback on. because Colette always claims that after she competes that she eats 10,000 calories in protein bars, which I don't really believe. But there is a place, John, called the Heart.
I thought you were going to say in 20 minutes.
She does it in 20 minutes, but she does it in all protein bars. Now, there's a place in Chandler, Arizona called the Heart Attack Grill. Okay, in the Heart Attack Grill, they got these hot waitresses dressed as nurses, and they have a sandwich there called the Quadruple Bypass Burger. Okay, it's a great name, right? I was drooling looking at this. I thought McDonald's triple cheeseburgers were great. This thing has got 8,000 calories, John. 8,000 one sandwich. It's got a pound of meat. I think it's got three levels or three. It's got over like almost 3 pounds of meat. The thing's got. It's got 8 slices of cheese, a whole tomato in it, a half an onion, and the bun is soaked in lard and then fried. I mean,
I think I've seen that on that show on the Food Channel. What the hell was the name of it? Man versus Food or some shit like that.
Colette, how many protein bars would you have to eat to get 8,000 calories?
Well, one horrible evening. Always usually 5 days out from a show, I might lose it. But I had 5 Trioplex bars. I mean, John, this is close. This is seriously close. But each one of those bars are at least, they're close to 500. But not only did I have them, I like to heat them up, pour half a jar at least of heated up peanut butter over them, cut them with a fork. I ate 5 of them smothered with at least a half a jar of peanut butter. Do the math. It's got to be close to 10.
Well, I'm surprised at you. I
know,
really,
John. You don't even want to hear this. I know. I can't even believe.
But you know, you're educated in this area.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you're a diabetes educator. You have a health background. You know, you got a list of freaking letters after your name.
Too many letters.
I'm shocked at this.
I lose all sense of control at 3 in the morning when I'm dying. It's almost like a sabotage. I think it's a psychology thing, though. I'm self-sabotaging. So if I don't do well, it's I can say it was that damn night that I had the 5 protein bars, the half a jar. I mean, there's got to be something else emotionally going on there.
It's like that movie Fatso. You ever seen the movie Fatso, John, with Dom DeLuise and then that guy from the Doritos commercial? You know, and they're talking. They're in this club, Chubby Checkers. It's called, where they're it's an Alcoholics Anonymous for heavy people, and they're all sitting around they're trying to give them support, and the cabinets are all chain closed, and they're drinking water with lemon in it, and they're oh, you know what I like to do? I like to suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and melt ice cream and pour the ice cream in there. And the other guy's and I like to take I like to suck the filling out of a Twinkie and fill it with hot fudge sundae, and then they go crazy, they rip the cabinets apart, and they eat like a food orgy. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, in Colette's case, I could see somebody that's got no hope in hell of winning, but Colette's an awesome bodybuilder. Yeah. You have the potential to just be amazing, and your posing routines are second to none. Why do you have this sort of preconceived notion that you're going to fail?
I don't know.
It's so
bad. But I guess it's just an easy way of rationalizing if you don't do well. Once I get that out of my head, I got that out of my head, and that's when I did the best, was at the Europa. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go in there and just do, what's the worst that can happen? I'm going to be my absolute best. My absolute best qualify me for the Olympia. So it's I got to go back to that instead of that self-sabotaging behavior.
You think that would have reinforced the fact that going all out works.
Yeah. No, it does.
I think we should go out to this Heart Attack Grill, John, in Arizona. I've never been to Arizona. I've been to almost every other state, but I've never been to Arizona. And I think if we ever find our way out in that neck of the woods, I don't know, man, that may be near Dennis James or Troy Alves' house. Maybe we can stop
by. Sally Ann's, Arizona.
We got to ask her, because I'd like to go to the Heart Attack Grill and bring a video camera.
I think we should do a bodybuilder's drive-ins, diners, and dives.
We should go cross-country.
Here's what we should do.
We got to do it.
We should get a van, a nice cushy van with about 4 of us bodybuilders, and others, right after dieting for either a photo shoot or a show, in the van, that after it's all over, smoke about half a pound of weed and drive off through this, we'll do this map. You know, they will go to the Food Channel. We'll get that good
eat.
We
gotta
plate,
do it.
You know, the map, and we'll just drug. We'll smoke weed and just, you know, go on through here and like work up the biggest appetites and go to these places and with the video camera and see how much of this crap we can all put away.
Did you hear about this movie that's coming out about surfing?
This
doctor back in the 70s. He had like 6 kids or 7 kids. He decided that he wasn't going to practice anymore. He quit his practice. He packed the kids up in a van and they drove cross country and they drove all and they flew went all over the world surfing the greatest like places to surf. And he homeschooled his kids. And I guess they had a video camera and they chronologed this and it's coming out as a Mr. G. This is like Mr. G's hero, you know, this guy.
Right.
And I thought about that, you know, when we were talking about this. I think we should get like one of these these things you can sleep in, these big buses. Triple H has one of them. They're probably real expensive.
Maybe we could borrow it.
We should put RX muscle on the side of it and we should just travel from show to show in the camper. Think about the video stuff we can get and the content for the site we can get.
You know, if you remember, Brian Moss back in the day did a photo essay of Route 66. He traveled Route 66.
That's right.
And stopped at every gym along Route 66. And, you know, trained there, did photos, and I don't know if he did any video or not, but I thought that was an amazing idea. He comes up with some of the greatest ideas, this guy, to expose the sport. Mm. Yeah, I think that would be a great thing to do is, you know, sort of take off on that, you know, right. Sort of plot where the next row of show, like if there's a bunch of shows next to each other.
Good idea.
We should start at one location and we should just travel the route and go to the show. Stop at gyms, let people know in advance that we're coming so we get, you know, opportunity to be at their gym and, you know, do a species expo and, you know, get some sell some product. And, you know, go from gym to gym, town to town, show to show, you know, and stop at all the good eating places, stop at all the good gyms, take the video, bring the whole whack pack with us. I think it would be an awesome trip.
Maybe we should do Atlantic City, and then from Atlantic City we'll drive to the Olympia in Vegas and I think it's a week later or 2 weeks later, and we'll just stop at all the gyms along the way, and we'll make it a 2 week like excursion.
That'd be cool. Bring Max.
We'll bring Max. Maybe we could find a supplement company to underwrite the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, anyone who's listening out there, if there's anyone listening out there, we may not have any listeners yet, John. But when
if there's anyone listening, I forgot about that. That was the other thing. We were accused of not having any listeners.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Remember that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Voice America told us that we had 40,000 listeners.
Yeah, it's not a very big company.
Yeah, they don't have good statistics.
Definitely not a big company.
You know who they replaced me with at MD, Mike Column?
Who?
Anthony Almada. Now, Anthony Almada was what guest on our show that we had.
Yeah.
And this is the funny part. Anthony Almada was a former owner of EAS.
EAS,
he
right.
sold that to Bill Phillips, made probably a lot of money. And I decided to, you know, bring this guy back. I heard Anthony was coming out with a new product line, so I got him on Noble Radio when we were doing it. And you know what Steve told me? He doesn't know that much. He's not that smart. I don't really believe that he knows what he's doing. And I'm like, Steve,
the
guy started EAS, for God's sakes. He brought creatine to the market. Steve's like, no. Twin did.
Right, he thinks he brought creatine to the market.
And you know, Anthony told us that he told us the whole story about how they did the creatine. You know, it was sitting on the Bill's desk for a year. You remember the whole story he told us?
Yeah, I remember the whole story.
Maybe Jeff will pull a clip of that. You know, so here he is putting down Almada. Now he fires me and you. And who does he hire? Almada.
I don't know what's funnier, that or who he replaced my column, who he was writing my column.
That's right.
Now.
Lee Priest is writing your last word, right? Yeah. Which is ironic because Lee Priest doesn't write his columns. Ron Harris does.
I know. I'm going to call Jimmy Mannion tomorrow and tell him that. He's going to really love that.
Ron Harris must have about 25 columns a month now and there.
Oh, Ron Harris is cleaning up. Right, I'm expecting a thank you note from him any minute now.
He's going to write all your columns now, probably.
He's probably writing 20 articles a month. He writes all of the athlete articles because none of those guys can write, and except for maybe Sean Ray, but. Well, he ghostwrites everybody, and now he's going to be ghostwriting Lee Priest. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do with my other columns. You know, Romano Factor.
Yeah, get rid of them.
Cut the magazine page down count. So it can be an even 25% editorial and 75% ads.
Yeah, it is getting. You know, it's funny. I told Steve, you know, why are you going to rest on your laurels? We should keep pushing the page count. Keep your magazine up at 500 pages. People really like the fact that there's a lot of content in there. He kept cutting back, but he didn't cut the ads back. And it looked like Flex Magazine was bigger than MD, the last issue that came out.
You know what magazine is really kicking ass is Muscle Mag.
Yeah, they came back too.
Muscle Mag is coming back strong, man. I'm telling you, that's I'm there. They're also talking to me about writing some features for them.
Right. Yeah, I don't know where I want to go. You know, I'll keep my options open, I guess, if I get any offers. But you know, right now we're going to be concentrating on writing a lot of content for RxMuscle. .com. So you know, if you guys want to find, you know, my Q&A, John's typical rants, everything is going to be at rxmuscle.com. Almost slipped there, John. You know, let's do one more story because before we go, you know, Peter Paul, you know, the brother of David Paul. David Paul is our good friend. He's a photographer. Peter is his crazy brother, who's I would consider a friend too, but he's a little, you know, touched. Yeah. And Colette could probably tell you, Peter actually was healed Colette's shoulder in the lobby of the Luxor Hotel at the Olympia one year for
an hour and a half. Just
yeah, but
so
you
know.
Didn't pay him.
I know. So, but he asked for the money later, just so you know.
But that's why the pain came back, John, because he didn't
pay
him.
Right, the pain came back because you didn't pay him.
Absolutely.
It was gone for about a few hours, though.
Remember those emails we'd get from him? They'd be like 5 million words long and it would all rhyme.
It was very threatening. Well, I must pay or my pain will all come back. And worse than it was before.
And it is.
It did, right? Yeah.
And it did.
It was gone for about a year or so, though. Anyway, so Peter went to Costa Rica to build houses, or I don't know what he was looking for. He was doing something there, and he met a blind kid, and he would call me every once in a while, but I was mostly getting the updates from his brother David. Peter was trying to heal this blind kid. Now, as the story goes, supposedly the kid was able to see again. He healed him almost 80% or 85% of the way. He actually got his vision back, and they kicked him out of Costa Rica because they said that he was the devil. Okay? Now, if it was my son and my son started seeing it, I would have to say, you know, well, you know, he may be the devil, but my son can see again.
My son can see.
So we don't really have a very accurate story of what went on there. I'm sure they thought he was crazy because he was probably dancing all over the place like a retard. And, you know, and scaring people more or less. So he moved back to his parents' house in Rhode Island. I have a feeling their parents have a few bucks, and he decided to enroll in the University of Rhode Island. Okay, now Peter is about 51 years old now. Okay,
is he?
Yeah, he walks to school 2 miles every day, and the kids there, you know, all the kids have got to be about 18, 19 years old. They call him Sweetie Petey. And he uses all the school's, you know, like video camera equipment to tape himself doing all those crazy dances, you know, that he does and whatever.
Good Lord.
So
you know, it's so amazing to see those guys. Well, David, you know, I've always had a good relationship with him, you know, we relate to each other on an artistic level, and you know, and he, I think he's the more together one, but if you remember back in the day, these guys, they were freaking huge and strong. Who does reverse grip 500-pound bench presses?
You would
reps.
And you know, they're still in good shape. They're not as big as they were, but they're all both ripped to the bone still.
Yoga. They do yoga.
I don't know. Well, they must train, too. I know David still works out. Maybe not to the degree he used to, but...
Well, they were... Back in the day, those guys were the two most menacing figures in Gold's Gym,
right.
and I will never forget watching feats of strength that these guys used to pull just in a routine workout. They were nuts. They were an absolute comic to watch.
Well, David just built his own recording studio, or someone hired him to build a recording studio. They gave him like carte blanche to do anything he wants. It was, from the pictures I saw of it at least, it's pretty amazing. So these guys are definitely talented. It's just kind of funny. Can you imagine going to school and having Peter Paul in your class? I mean, he's got to be the most disruptive student there. You know, he does.
Yeah, I wonder if he participates with the learning. I mean,
I think he's friends with all the deans, according to his brother David. Like there's some Rastafarian deans they have there, and he somehow made friends with them. I don't quite know how, but anyway, it's always good to get a good update on Peter Paul. You know.
Yeah, I love those guys, man. We got to get them on the show.
Yeah, we'll get them back. You know, the problem is, now that we're pre-taping these shows, so it might be better so we can always cut out the boring stuff. We can have Jeff, you know, if Peter decides to go off on a rant, you know, we don't have to
expose. Right, well, we're not going to be pre-taping them forever. We're going to be back
now,
live.
Yeah, we'll be live in about a week or two. So
yeah, so we can have our call-in segments.
Well, let me go one at a time. Jeff, final analysis. What do you think of where we're at now with the new show? Are you confident that moving forward we're going to have some great new programming?
I think this is a step in the right direction. It's very, very fun and exciting to be able to do what you want. And
you got a job again, Jeff, so that's probably the best news that I've heard.
I know. Actually, a paying job that I don't have to beg you for.
And you know that I'm going to pay you on time.
Oh, trust me, I know.
I don't. I'm not like Blackman. You're not going to have to wait 6 months to get my money, and meanwhile you'll be mortgaging your gas payments out.
It's true. Very, very exciting to look forward to right now.
Colette, what's your assessment of the situation?
The chains are unlocked. Who would you rather go to, MD, following Steve, or Dave and John? I don't know. You be the judge.
My father said that he awoke the sleeping giant. That's what he said.
Yes, definitely.
So, what's your final assessment there, John?
You know, I'm not sad it's over. I'm glad it happened, and it's just time to move on. You know, I think everybody that's listening to this show has listened to history being made. And you'll be able to say, you know, years from now, you'll be able to say, I remember I listened to that first show when John and Dave went off on their own. And we got nowhere to go but up, bro.
I have to concur with that assessment. And I have to say that I have so much great stuff planned for this show, John. I got guests that are calling me. They can't wait to come on the show. And, you know, the great thing about, I think, what we do is that we don't have the same show every week. You know, a lot of people say, get Pletchy on again, or get Mr. G on again, get Mr. G on, or well, maybe they don't say that, but they definitely, they do say they want Pletchy on.
He likes to think they say
that. Yeah. You know, and you know, we have so many crazy people that we do get on the show, and so many, such a diversity. We have Muscle Mob Jeopardy, which will no longer be Muscle Mob Jeopardy. Now it'll have to be Heavy Muscle Jeopardy. But
Heavy Muscle Jeopardy.
But the bottom line
is the Heavy Muscle Schmo Day.
The Schmo Dating Game we're going to have, and all these things that we got planned is the diversity, and I think we can do a lot of different things, and that to me is what makes an exciting radio show. I try to do what I would like to listen to myself.
Well, I'm glad that we were going to afford this opportunity. The other thing is that, you know, whoever we end up with being our sponsors are going to have a really solid format to be able to voice their opinions and their highlight and showcase their products, because they're going to know that this is the place where the truth is told, and we're going to study these guys and make sure that whoever we have on here is giving us the real deal. So anybody who's listening is going to know that if you hear it on Heavy Muscle Radio, it's the truth.
That's right, and I think that's a great way to end, John. It typifies our whole philosophy about bodybuilding and life in general, and I guess the best thing I could say is tune in, and you will not be let down.
That's right.
And you know what? I got to think of a good ending, because I don't know how to end yet, so let's not end, and let's just say we're to be continued next week. How about that?
To be continued next week. There you go. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.